Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
How we doing? And welcome to the GR with me, Darren O'Sullivan. I'm delighted to be joined by Niall McIntyre and our very own pilot, Lee Costello. Boys, another action-packed weekend. What's the story?
Not much. I was just glued to the television all weekend, Darren, as I'm sure every GA fan around the country was. It was all kind of packed in. It was a jam-packed maybe 2 hours, and it was just stuff happening everywhere. I'd carry in Galway in front of me, and I don't know that I even get to watch much of it at all because we were checking what was going on. But it was all very good.
No, I made the mistake nearly of going to the drone game, which was brilliant. But it meant I missed absolutely everything else, you know. And I was sitting on my phone half the time. Like, I didn't, like, that Cluxton thing, it was you that texted me. Like, Cluxton's back. I was like, no way. And then you couldn't get Wi-Fi or 4G. So, like, you're watching this great match, but you know you're missing key things everywhere else. It was nearly too much fun jam-packed into such a short period.
Yeah, I was supposed to go up to Galway. They arranged me to Finney and Henley above, and I was going to meet him early, breakfast and the whole lot, and go up to the game. And I got up in the morning and I went, there's actually too much going on. And when you're at a game, you have no idea what else is going on around the place. And sometimes when you go to the game, you have to go home or re-watch it again because you can't see or hear a lot of the stuff. So I was like, oh, no, do you know what? I mean, stay at home and then watch it at home. But like that, I was up to the phone trying to check the updates and what was going on. And it could be 10 minutes gone. And like, oh, Armagh are up by a point. Or no, they're down by a point. Or Monaghan are up and then they're down. And no, it is all good. But in fairness, we'll start with Monaghan because, yeah, they've made mugs of us all again. We did say it. We said we tipped them to go down. But any team is going to prove you wrong, it's probably them. But genuinely, you just have to tip your hat to them. Like, when you're saying it, you're not saying it as an insulting way. They have good players, obviously, but their squad depth is never as deep as a lot of the other counties. And how they do it every year to be able to dig deep like that. And then you have players like Darren Hughes, and Conor McManus is just, he's just evergreen. Like, he's unbelievable, genuinely unbelievable. It's amazing that they actually, he started out as a wing back for Monaghan. Like, probably one of the most deadly forwards in any county over the last 10 years, 15 years. I think it's actually 17 years he's been playing National League.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It was iconic, wasn't it? That last shot of him nailing the penalty. And he kind of walks away with the one hand up and the kids come streaming onto the field. The referee knows, like, this is it. Blow the whistle up. Like, unbelievable from Monaghan. In fairness now, I do think we were kind of half hinting, and I had a hunch that they would, not to be blowing my own trumpet here, but I did have a hunch that they
That's
might.
What you're doing. That's what you're doing, yeah. I knew.
I'll belt away. just because they've done it so many times before. Like, I was looking at it this morning, and like, they were sixth this year, sixth in the league, so one spot above relegation. They were sixth in 2022. They won a playoff against Galway in 2021. They were sixth in 2019. They were sixth in 2020. They were sixth in 2016. They've knocked out, like, in the last 3 years, they knocked out Galway. Remember Jack McCarron? That was the year of COVID. He came up and beat them after extra time. Last year, knocked out Dublin, knocked out Armagh this year. They've knocked out Mayo and Cork in previous years on the final day. Like, so just unbelievable. Players who come up and do it in the clutch moments. And as I suppose you talked about McManus and Hughes, and then there's Carol O'Connell as well, 34 years of age. These are just the war dogs, and they stepped up again. And you just knew they were going to do it. Mayo didn't need to win, and I suppose they needed a bit of luck, Armagh, to lose. But Monaghan, Jesus, unbelievable. And the pictures after were great. Like Vinnie Corey used to play with them boys, and you know, he was talking about how you know, he knows the caliber of these men, and just delighted for them. Like,
yeah, no, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Consistency. Always, if you told everyone else they were sixth every year, they'd be happy enough, like the big six, I suppose. But tis fair going, no, in fairness. And Armagh, we gave them enough doing, I'd say, last weekend, and probably the week before. I think they're getting what they deserve. Yeah. I don't know, like... I'm just thinking championship there and how we want to go into championship. And I know, look, they got beaten yesterday by, is it a point or 2 points?
I think it was like two in the end, yeah.
Two in the end. And they beat Monaghan and they beat Donegal. So they're going, look, you know, they didn't have that bad league or whatever in terms of the teams they could be coming up against. But when you make the progress they made last year, and you were so excited, people liked watching, people loved watching them. And we won't go stringing off the names or players, but when you're not playing to their strengths and you're going at this ugly style, you lose admirers, you lose fans. And I think Armagh did throughout the league, and I think fortune favours the brave. When you go for it, you tend to get that bit of luck, and I think Armagh just kind of got no luck either. Like, but like I said, you make your own.
In fairness to the Armagh fans, I'd say they nearly outnumbered the Tyrone ones in Healy Park. You didn't know if it was playing at home or away. Every catch, you know, they cheered. They're the most ironic bunch I've ever met in my life as well, because every Tyrone way, they would absolutely lift the roof of the place. They just loved it. But sort of got the last laugh in the end. But talking to the Armagh fans, even in the wee bar afterwards and stuff, like, they're so frustrated. They're so annoyed. Because over the past couple of years, they've built up nearly this cult culture of going to all the games, watching this exciting football. Win or lose, at least, you know, we give it everything and we've tried something here. And they just seem to have abandoned that. The team has abandoned that with their ethos. And it's just so frustrating to watch. Even like Tyrone must have kept the ball. There was a period of the game yesterday in the second half and Tyrone kept the ball. I don't know, it could have been 5 minutes. And no Armagh, they were just so obsessed with protecting the D, getting everyone in behind, and the ball just went sideways and sideways. Like, Tyrone were doing everything right. It was typical how Dublin would do things against them sort of teams. And you know Tyrone are doing things right, but I just, as a fan, when you're there and you paid hard-earned money to get in, you're like, nah, just kick the fucking thing. But it must be twice as frustrating then if that's the team you're looking and you're supporting, and they're losing a game, and you're just desperate for them to get at it, and you know they can do it, but they just won't. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, like McGeaney came out after us, and he was saying, "Look, there are positives. We are competitive in every game." But I just found that a strange statement. Like, they're not trying to be competitive; they're trying to win. I thought a statement like that is very, we're the underdogs and we're fighting against teams above us, whereas they're supposed to be at the level with the Tyrones, the Kerrys. Like, it's not about competing with them, it's about beating them. They were competing with them teams last year, playing a good attacking brand of football that was getting the best out of their better players. So I found that comment very strange. That, yeah, of course they were competitive. They didn't get hammered in every game, but when you're playing that negative style of football, you're never going to get hammered. You're just not, because you have everyone back behind the ball. It's difficult, it's crappy conditions a lot of the times. Teams aren't going to be shooting the lights out. But I just found that such a strange comment, especially from him, because he was such a competitor. He is such a competitor, and it's not about being competitive. It's about driving on. It's about showing these teams that you're better than them, that you can compete with them. Not only compete with them, you can beat them. Like, sticking with them and losing by a point, who cares? Like, when you have the players that they have, and we saw glimpses throughout the game yesterday as well, like, they should be looking for a lot more than being competitive.
Well, even when the fact that they beat Tyrone twice last year and beat them well in Championship and League. So they had nothing to fear, everything to play for. and they still stuck to their guns in terms of that defensive football. That's just what's so weird about it. I don't know, like, it's like purposely taking a step back.
Yeah, like, even, I don't know, like, obviously we're on about the performance the whole time. Now there's whispers, Niall, of Rian O'Neill, he's injured, he's not injured, it's a quad injury. No, he fell off a quad bike. No, he had his fight with the management. There was a disciplinary meeting. Do you know, like, when there's a bit of, call it discontent, things get out. And I can't imagine the Armagh boys have enjoyed the league campaign too much or enjoyed the style of football that they're trying to play or playing at the moment.
No, the whole thing has been very, it's been a strange league campaign from Armagh, because you expect so much more from them after last year, and you were expecting, I suppose we were expecting to carry on. Maybe I'm beginning to think maybe we were expecting a little bit too much from them, and that we could even have been overrating them a small bit. Like, in fairness to them, they weren't too bad yesterday, and like Tyrone were very good, and Armagh did, like, it was a, you know, they weren't too bad. They were missing Rian O'Neill, which is obviously, he's their key man, and he's their talisman, and like, they're going to miss him. But I don't know, I'm kind of just beginning to think that we did maybe overrate them a small bit. Like, they beat Tyrone last year. Tyrone were just like all over the shop last year. To beat Donegal last year, and like, we've seen Donegal this year how bad they've been. And look, I don't know, maybe I'm being a bit harsh on them, and like the way they've played certainly has like taken away not just from their standard, but I'd say the enjoyment of it as well. But it's just, the whole thing is very strange up in Armagh, and it's kind of hard to wrap your heads around. And yeah, as you said, Darren, when the stuff like that, like, it's hard to, that Rian O'Neill thing was all, it was like, it was shocking really the way it was spread. And like, it was all, as it turns out, it was all fairly, like, most of the rumours were false anyway. There might have been some disagreement when he was taken off the last day, but yeah, just all kind of up, they're up in a bit of a heap now, and there's a lot of pressure on coming up against Antrim in Ulster in that game, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Like, obviously, look, they got relegated from Division 1. It's not the end of the world. It isn't. But it just ramps up the pressure on him for that game. Antrim will go in with nothing to lose. And like you said, a lot of the sideshows and the rumours, there's nothing you can do about it normally. But they tend to not come out of camps that are moving in the right direction. They tend to come when there's a few bits and pieces not clicking into gear. But look, it wasn't the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. If they go on and win the Ulster, they won't be too bothered. But I do think staying in Division 1 is important. It took them long enough to get back to Division 1 and 3 years they're back down. But on a more positive note, Tyrone have finally turned it around. They're motoring in the right direction. Their bigger players have, after 18 months probably, started finding form again. They're getting that balance right. You must be happy enough, Lee, with it. But you were there yesterday. How was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really enjoyable game. You know, we started the podcast, you said Tyrone get relegated, and they ended up higher than Kerry. So
I don't remember that.
No, I'll get the clip up. It was really good to watch, and it's an exciting Tyrone team. The forwards we've definitely seemed to settle now. Last year they couldn't make up their mind nearly between Cathal McSheehan and Matty Donnelly, and Matty Donnelly seems to solidify that sort of spot. So that's that, you know, one thing ticked. Problem solved. Ronan McNamee came back into the team starting lineup yesterday. He's been a big miss. I've been looking for him in the team sheet all league. I'm not too sure where he was, or if he was nursing an injury or whatever, but he played at six, and he just shores up our defence so much. Like, if you look at us now compared to the start of the league and all the goals that Tyrone were conceding, they just looked defensively much more solid. And then he kicked 2 points as well. And then another plus was a young fella, Michael McLean, came off the bench. I think he's only like 20 years old, but have you boys seen the size of this man? He came off the bench and everyone was just like, oh my God.
It's huge.
He honestly, he looks like he was made in a lab. He is just already bigger and stronger than everyone around him. And he kicked a really good point. And, you know, even just things that got young players come off the bench and making an impact. Joe Goose has been brilliant throughout, finishing, I think, fourth in the league, joint third or whatever in points. Overall, a pretty good campaign. And, like, a part of me wanted to get into that league final because I think it'd be good for Tyrone. But just after seeing how it ended, I think this is a good place for them to stop now, take 2-3 weeks or whatever it is before the Monaghan game, you know, reflect on all of the positives, keep that good feeling for a little bit longer, work hard, and then really attack the championship.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like I suppose we'll go up to Pure Stadium now, Kerry Galway. I actually thought Galway would beat him on the day. I thought they'd just edge him. I thought they were playing that bit better, and I was there. There was an outside chance of Kerry making a league final. Or do Kerry need another game, competitive game, obviously, before they go into the Munster Championship where it's not as competitive? But I'd be the opposite there. Where some counties, I was saying, yeah, they need more games and competitive. I actually think Kerry need a bulk of training. They were better yesterday individually than they had been for a while. But Galway, I think, would be delighted. Obviously, they're going into a league final. Should have got a goal after about 15 seconds where they burst through and Shane Murphy actually made a good save. But this league couldn't have gone any better for Galway and Pádraig Joyce. I think the big question mark over Galway going into this year was squad depth. And they definitely didn't have it last year when they were taking players off. They were replacing with fellas not quite at the same level. Whereas now I think they have that. I think they have better standard of players coming off the bench. They have a lot more options. And being without Shane Walsh for majority of the league, Comer getting injured, it was a case of, right, who's going to stand up? And they had lots of players. Finnerty obviously got injured, but he's come back, is a big player. Tierney has been brilliant all throughout the league. And Heaney, I think Heaney's the man that makes him tick. He's just consistently 7 or 8 out of 10. You can put your hat in him. And he was very good again. You see, he's very busy, chipped in with a couple of points, works his arse off, very good from an attacking point of view as well. But Galway looks stronger than they did last year, which is great for them.
I couldn't agree more, Darren. I mean, you mentioned there the lads, the likes of Tierney stepping up. Like, you have to remember you have Peter Cook back as well. And, you know, they didn't have him last year. And
I always forget him, actually. I always forget to throw him in there. And he's been a massive plus for him.
Huge, huge addition. Other lads like Cathal Sweeney looks like, he's a live wire inside. Another lad, you know, maybe he mightn't be starting when it comes down to it. But, like, remember the All-Ireland final last year? The difference probably for Kerry was they had a good bench coming on. Galway didn't really, you know, they hadn't the lads coming off the bench who are going to, you know, they hadn't really settled into it yet. But the likes of Sweeney now, even you see the likes of Tom O'Culhane, Daniel O'Flaherty, all these boys got the experience in the league this year. And they look, Galway look as well placed as anyone, you'd have to say. I'd say they'll probably, the league final next week, and they have 2 weeks after that. Before they play the first round in Connacht, so you'd have to have them as favourites for the league final with Mayo playing a week after. So yeah, I think Galway are in a brilliant place. They've Pádraig Joyce has managed it brilliantly this whole league campaign. They've new lads stepping up. And yeah, I thought the Bostock game yesterday, they just looked like they had Kerry, they had their number. They were able to run through them, like they were kind of bossed the middle of the field with Connery and Cook. John Daly was picking passes. I know Walsh wasn't too involved, but, you know, he was still, anything he does is kind of class, like, and he sets up, makes a lot of space for the other lads. So everything about Galway now you'd have to admire.
Yeah.
At the moment.
No, they're definitely, I'm not going back to Armagh, but, you know, Galway progressed massively last year, and it was a case of, right, how are they going to kick on? And Galway have done that, and, like, defensively, Kerry got 14 points. If you were holding the top teams to 12 and 14 points, you'll take that. every day of the week. No, Terry were poor from an attacking point of view yesterday, but we'll stick with the Galway, what they're doing well. They actually did. They cut through Kerry, especially in the first half. Now, more so in the first half, I actually think Kerry were lucky to not be further behind at halftime. Galway actually had left a good couple of opportunities behind them. Obviously, the goal they get was a bit fortuitous. It was another goalkeeping mistake by Kerry. But like from a Galway point of view, it's just about picking that right 15 now and what players are going to be better suited to come on off the bench. There's a bit of a juggling act there as well, which is a great problem for Joyce to be looking at. It's a case of right, get the right balance now and which players are going to be able to make a bigger impact when they're coming off the bench in the championship, because I think they'll go all out for the league as well. And we'll talk about that a bit later on. I just think in terms of momentum, and they have an extra bit of focus on the league final, more so than Mayo, who might be kind of looking kind of peripheral vision at Roscommon. But no, I think from a defensive point of view, Sean Kelly's been freed up this year and is continuously bombing on, creating play, creating overlaps, being a link. He was very good as well. I know we gave him a slagging a couple of weeks ago about his little dive, but he's doing everything that you'd want from him and from a captain.
He's unbelievable.
As well.
Yeah. The speed of him, nobody can keep up with him at all. Like, and he runs through and creates chances or sticks it over the bar. He's some player at the moment.
He's a strange run. At times you'd be there going, somebody just catch him, but they can't seem to catch him.
And he drives right through the middle as well. Like, it's not like he's hugging the sideline. You know, he's going straight. So you know what he's going to do, but no one can stop him. It's insane.
Yeah, no, he was very good again yesterday. From a Kerry point of view, it's a tough one to know. I think they badly needed the end of the league. Genuinely, I don't think getting to a league final would have helped them. Even if they won a league final, I don't think would have made a difference. I think they need, and they're lucky they have a couple of weeks of training. It's not even to do with the Munster Championship and how easy or not easy that might be. They need a couple of weeks together. I know they're going on a training camp, which will, it's like doing a month's training in a week, and I always loved it. But you get back into that bubble. I think something that people are forgetting as well is, and I was only thinking about recently, why I think the standard has been quite poor in the league up to now, is you have 6 months, the season now, the split season, we all love it. You have 6 months of playing at this level, the elite level, right up the top. And then you go back to the club and county championship or at your county is down to about here. But then most players are playing down here. It's a big jump for 6 months to be playing here and to get back up to this level. It's not easy to do, like, and even like Paddy Clifford was his best game back yesterday for Kerry. He got 2 points from play, was involved in everything, could have got a couple of goals. He had 2 goal chances, maybe could have scored, maybe could have, should have got one of them or whatever, but he seemed to have a bit more energy in him, and he had a long year last year, and you're playing at a level here where it's quite easy. You're strolling through a lot of games at times, but trying to get back up, it takes a bit of time, and I genuinely believe 6 months away from the elite level back with the clubs has actually not just Kerry, this is all over, because I don't think the standard has been great, and we talked about it. I think that's been a big knock-on effect this year, and Kerry I think need that couple of weeks now together, because obviously between injuries and the players with the extended club run, they just need a couple of weeks together because they're not clicking. They got a few better performances individually yesterday. I think Shawnee was a bit better yesterday, obviously I mentioned Paddy. There's something not quite right at the moment. Sometimes it is a case if you win All-Ireland then that edge is gone as well, so they're definitely in a position now where I think Jack would be delighted to get his hands on him now for a consistent couple of weeks, and he'll have so many different examples where they need to sharpen up. So it's going to be interesting just to see how he does it as well, because Jack definitely doesn't know what his best 15 is at the moment.
What do you think Jack is like in terms of a second season, the season after an All-Ireland? Does, like, what's the manager meant to do? Do they sort of rip up the script and try to bring the players back down to earth? Is that their first goal? You know, nearly ripping them back down to try to build them up again, you know? Or what, you've had experience with him. What's he like, or what would he be like in the dressing room at the minute?
Yeah, like, he'd be grand. Like, he's obviously, I'd say he's mellowed a good bit since my time with him. But like that, when you win All-Ireland, you're obviously doing a lot right. So you might have one or two. What you're actually hoping for is there'll be one or two lads who are going so well at training, you're delighted to be throwing them in place of somebody who played the year before, because it's a bit of a kick up the arse, but it's a message to everyone else. And unfortunately, I don't think we've had that. We've had a few fellas who came in. Darryl Roach did okay at the first couple of games, got injured. Don Sullivan's done quite well, but not, you couldn't nail him on for a couple of games. We've actually had nobody to come in and go, hold on a second, this fella's come out of nowhere. He could start ahead of whoever it is. And that's what you need. So, like that, Jack this year is bound to be different to when we had him, because of the long break that was there, the injuries they've had, and the players come back late. But I do think he'll be, I wouldn't say tearing shreds off him now or anything like that. He's not going to be that cranky about it. I'd say he anticipated a league campaign like this, but he will be definitely highlighting a lot of what they're not doing that they were doing last year. Like, even the chances they're running through the middle of Galway were doing, that wasn't happening with Kerry last year. Kerry had that areas tightened up. And to be honest, like, you're looking ahead and we'll be top of once championship not being great, but Cork are banging in goals and they have been quite impressive in moments. Look, I know Derry weren't at full strength to begin, but it was another big draw, big performance, a late equaliser, which helped build a bit of confidence and momentum. So, look, I think Jack he'll be just happy that the league is over, still Division 1, and they have a month or 3 weeks, whatever it is, to get things right, sharpen up a small bit like that. None of the full forward line scored from play yesterday. Only Sean and Paddy scored it, which is never good enough. But on another day, Clifford David might have got a few, but I think he was forcing a bit yesterday. He looked frustrated, looked a bit out of sorts. So yeah, a lot to work on for Kerry.
What will that training camp be like, Darren? Are they hectic?
Yeah, they would have been. They would have been before, because like that, you'd have had a long layoff. I heard it was on another podcast recently. I think it was one of the tip hurlers, and he hated it, and he thought they should be scrapped. But it's all opinion. I loved them. They were very hard. Like, you'd be on the way over, and you'd be absolutely petrified, going, "Oh, this is gonna be torture." And for a lot of it was. The running sessions are never nice, whether the sun is shining or it's pissing rain. But the football over, honestly, was so quick. Just rapid, quick, and it was brilliant. I loved them. The training was great. The crack was good. The amount of work you get done, the bit of a bond you start getting back in. Yeah, I couldn't speak highly enough of them. I loved them, and like that, we were lucky enough that we got a lot of opportunities to do it in our early years. But I think Kerry needed, whether it's in Portugal or up the road, you need somewhere where the outside distractions aren't there, that you can solely focus on what you're trying to do. Like I said, a lot of the boys wouldn't have trained a whole pile together over the last couple of months. We're in March now, we're in late March. So we're nearly in April, so you have 3 full months gone. And what day was the All-Ireland last year?
July, wasn't it? July 19th, maybe.
Catching both of you on the hop there with that one. But you're looking at nearly 8 months where they haven't had a full squad to train together. Like, that's a long time. But this isn't just a Kerry issue, this is everyone. So I think this getting players back and playing together and back on that wavelength and just getting that bit of sharpness, and sometimes the speed of training goes up, which it will on the camp, just brings a new level of confidence. So yeah, look, I'm sure they're not. I know Limerick Hurlers went off recently. look, it's a hard one to fit in for a lot of counties, but I think Kerry, whether they were doing it at home or what, they just need a bulk of training together, where they can kind of start getting them connections back.
Would you be doing, like, do you know, would it be like a session in the morning, a gym session, football? Like, is there two or three sessions a day and then a bit of crack in the evening?
Yeah, it'd be three. So you get up in the morning and you'd be in apartments or whatever. And so you might have a few little bits and pieces around the house, for a bit of fruit, tea bags or something. So you might get up, have a cup of tea. That'd be about it. Maybe not even water, whatever it is. And you go down, you train in the morning. Training in the morning was normally the running session. So you do your kind of, you're running in the morning, you go back up, you have breakfast, back to the rooms, and you normally go back to bed, get up again. Lunchtime session would be football, so right in the heat. Now if it was too hot, they'd push it an hour or two, whatever. Normally it was peak heat time when you play football, and the pace of the football was unbelievable, genuinely unreal. And the pitches all were perfect. You'd no excuses. And then you'd have lunch and you'd go back and you might go for another sleep, or you might be in the physio, or and then you'd have an evening session, which would be a gym, or it'd be a meeting where you'd be doing bits and pieces. Yeah, and then you'd have a bit of crack in the evening where all the childish antics come out and the messing starts.
Well, this might be a silly question in regards to that, but like, how does that work with work? And like all the players and getting everybody, because some of them are bound to be like teachers and things, you know.
A lot of them are teachers now. I don't know, to be honest. Like, I would have always had to book a week's holidays.
Yeah.
It was always a week's holidays for me. In terms of the teachers, I don't know. I presume they have to book it off and hope there's a bit of understanding.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. Is it Easter? Maybe they're going for next week's Easter.
Yeah. I can't work out that perfectly. Every year I would have thought, but...
I don't know. I'd say it's Easter holidays, as far as I know. But I don't know. Like that, it was always a case of when I was playing, I would never take holidays from... Like, I'll be honest, I used to take a day off after most away league games, because I was never going to take a week and do nothing and sit around the place. It was a pain in the arse. So I'd take a... Let's say if we were away in Tyrone, I'd take the Monday off after it. That'd be about it. And so I'd always had holidays to take, and the 4 or 5 weeks holidays you get in the bank, 21 or 25 days. But from February to the end of September, you wouldn't be going away. And then you finish that and you're thinking, oh, I'll go on holidays now. And you're like, no, we've County Championship. So you never get a chance to go away. But most of it's just like you get a bit of notice and you book them in or whatever. So teachers have normally Easter holidays. So yeah, but I think Kerry will be delighted to see the back of the league, and I think Galway, like, even Joyce's interview after, I think he'd be absolutely delighted. Chance of a league final, getting into Croke Park, getting silverware in Croke Park, beating Mayo. Now we'll talk about Mayo a bit later on, but I think both teams are going in with the right attitude. I think it's gonna be a great final. But yeah. Another team in Connacht who will be sitting there with their feet up, a nice hot cup of tea, hoping the two boys absolutely cut lumps off each other, is Roscommon. Big win the weekend, great way to finish the league. They started really well, had a blip, and they got caught a few times with maybe a little chance they might get relegated, but they finished off really well yesterday. A very good league for Roscommon and the new management team. They got exactly what they wanted out of it. They're staying in Division 1. They found a couple of good players to take the pressure off the old dogs. But Donegal... My God.
where do you even start?
I rang Eamon last week. He didn't even answer with a hello. He goes, no comment. So, and like that, we were just chatting away, but... There was no, just I'd say for Donegal people, it's just so annoying. They're big GA people up there, and it's such a sideshow. It's a bad, bad week. Couple of weeks.
Yeah, shambolic. Like, I think Gooch was right in the Sunday game. Like, it was, do you know, like the players, they were the ones who ousted Paddy Carr, and then to perform like that, they only scored 9 points and hammered. You know, you'd be expecting a little bit more from a team that have, you know, just got rid of their manager. But it is. You would feel sorry for, like, you know, the, as you mentioned there, the good GA people up there, because, like, it's not just the senior team that's struggling. That whole academy thing, like, that's just it's a sorry sort of a state, and you don't like hearing anything like that. And it's just, it's tough to look at, like, Donegal is such a, you know, such a good county, and they've such good players as well, even still there, and they're just, it's not happening.
Yeah, I was chatting with Gooch when he was travelling up for a Sunday game yesterday, and we're just on about it, and we're on with this, that, and the other. And he said that, he goes, yep, the players aren't doing the business on the pitch either, like. And he was right. And we were both saying, be interesting now this weekend. Right, they suppose if nothing to play for, right, they possibly could have avoided relegation with a few freak results. But they showed nothing. And he was right on the Sunday game, and he was right to call it out. There's been a lot of talk about the management. There's been a lot of talk about Carol Lacey and the development team. There's been a lot of talk about the county board. But at the end of the day, right, they beat Kerry at the start of the league. Kerry team were nothing done. But they just, there was no fight in them. There was no fight. And this weekend, of all weekends, sometimes I'd be blue in the face saying on this podcast, like, a lot of times you just want attitude. Run around, throw your body on the line, show that you care. But 2 points kicked in the second half, no fight. Like Cullum said on the show, like, you know, can we get this, the world's against us, it's us against the world. Nah. No. They were jumping on the world team. They were getting ready to give Donegal a bait in it themselves. Very disappointing. I felt sorry for Paddy Carr as well. When they beat Kerry, you could see the emotion. He went for the job. He got the job. And I think with everything going on, I just don't think he got the support of the players.
Yeah. Yeah. What do they even go from here? But, like, what do they do? Do they try to keep on Paddy Bradley and O'Rourke to try to carry it through, because they've got such a short period of time, and any work that they have done this season so far, at least use that as a foundation and try to build from there? Or do they try to get someone in, like an emergency kind of manager? Jim McGuinness is apparently available, you know, people will be talking about that. But I'm thinking, like, if you're a manager and you're a good manager, you wouldn't take that risk. Like, why would you put your reputation on the line for them boys, who are clearly not representing themselves pretty well, or their jersey, do you know what I mean? I literally don't know what they can do to even attempt to salvage this season.
Yeah, Lee, I don't know. If I'm O'Rourke or Bradley, I'm getting out of Dodge. They're going to be thrown under the bus now anyway at this stage. Are they going to get a kick off the lads? It's hard to see that they would. If they were, if it was their own county, it's a, yeah, stick around. But no, if I'm them, I'm getting out of Dodge. It's too messy from the top down, and there's nothing positive there. I'm out of the gap. And you mentioned, if any good managers there, who would take it? Well, was it a week or two ago, Jim McGuinness came out with, in that interview, and he said, "Well, I offered my services," and or whatever he offered, and I didn't hear back. Well, I'd be saying, you offer them now, because they need somebody now, and there's very few that would get a kick
up you step, son.
Yeah. Like, there's no point coming out with these statements. Oh, I offer my services. He was kicking them when they were down the county board. It was a nice chance to get a dig in. Oh, I offered, and they never got back to me. Well, don't mind the county board. The players need somebody now, and they need someone that's going to kick their hole. And I think he'd get a reaction like that. I think he'd be able to bring in, even Michael Murphy might win as selector till the end of the season. I don't know. Maybe he'd say, no, I need to stay away for a year. I don't know. But they need somebody that they wouldn't be able to blame anyone. You know, I think the players need somebody that they'll get a kick off. If I'm Bradley and O'Rourke like that, I'm getting out of Dodge. They came in with Carr, they threw him under the bus. And I'd say, look, we came in with Paddy Carr. He's left, so we're going to move on. Yeah, and I definitely think, look, there's enough people up in Donegal that could get them going in the right direction. I don't like getting relegated in a big deal. They were always going to struggle when Michael Murphy left. He was just such a big player. And you can't even compare him to Kerry losing Clifford or Dublin losing whoever. He was everything to Donegal for so long. You can't, no team can compare to that. So losing him, and then obviously McBrearty was supposed to step up this year and he got injured. So going back, going down a division isn't a big deal, I don't think. Sometimes you have to go backwards, go forwards, give their younger players, fellas, break and then a chance to find their own form, find their own personality, and the team to find a new personality. But I'm going off topic there, but the likes of Paddy Carr and Bradley, or Paddy Bradley and O'Rourke, I'd be there going, no, it's not worth this stress, and it's not worth this. I get out of Dodge. And then you put the emphasis back on the Donegal people that want to get the team back to where they are. And I'd be saying to Jim, you came out 2 weeks ago with a big statement. Come on. What is this? Your county needs you.
You sound like Kevin Cassidy, Darren. Did you see his tweet last week?
I did. What was it again? I remember reading it. I had a bit of a laugh about it. But what was he saying again?
Up you what step, son. Up you step.
Yeah, there you go. But like that's, you know, like, look, we don't know anyone's situation or whatever. But I did say it at the time. I was like, there was no need for him to come out. There was enough shite going on at the time. And it was a case of, right, I'll get a little kick in here while they're being bait with this stick. And I'd be there going, no, I hope you step. Go on, Cassidy's right. But he is, to be fair. No point saying these things. They need so now. And look, like that, Bradley and O'Rourke might stay on. I think it'd be a mistake by Bolton if they did. They'd get out of there. And then it's up to the Donegal people to sort out themselves. So yeah, that's Division One in a big nutshell. We'll go through the other divisions. Now we'll go down to Division Two, I suppose, straight away. It's just gone down one. And the fairy tale ending for Louth never came. Maybe if Sam was up front, we might have had a different result. But they look good. They look really good. They cut Dublin open on numerous occasions. It could have been a very different result. And Dublin, I put it this way, I'm going to cut the back off them and then I'm going to tip them to beat Derry next week. That's how odd I am. There's something not right there. And obviously when you're bringing Cluxton back, and look, we all know what Cluxton was or what he is, bringing a 41-year-old back, and like the squad looks way better now with Cluxton, McCaffrey, Mannion, McCarthy, and all the names we knew for so long. But you have to move on. You have to move on. The fact that they brought him back and Desi came out on about the injuries, I'm sure there's some other young goalies around the place. But yeah, it's a sideshow. It's a sideshow and it's a distraction. But look, they got promoted. They got the goal that they wanted. But I don't really think they're definitely not. They're not motoring.
No. Well, there was two things that kind of stood out for me during the match was Killian O'Gara's first point he scored. Like, he had Cormac Costlow was barking at him straight away after, like, you should have passed me that ball. It was a goal on. And you were saying this a few weeks ago. It was over the Kilkenny one when he should have passed to, I think it was Costlow as well. That Dublin always do. They always give that simple pass, but they're not doing it this year. And there was another time later on in the game, Paddy Small. Did you see that one where he took a shot and the goalie was kind of out with him, but there was a lad standing on the line and he tries to side foot one in when Larkin O'Dell is free on his left-hand side and Paddy Small just doesn't give the pass. Like, it was a lot more selfish than the O'Gara one. Like, and it was one you'd expect Dublin to give. And then that Cluxton thing is just, it's very, very, very strange. Like, watching it on TG Cahir when he just popped up in front of you, you nearly think your eyes are playing tricks with you, because in fairness to the Dublin players, I was reading Desi Farrelly said after the match that Cluxton has been training with them for the last few weeks. And you talked about something coming out of the Armagh camp, Darren, and it's a sign of a good camp when nothing comes out. Well, nothing comes out of that Dublin camp, definitely. But I definitely don't think it's a good thing. Like, Stephen Cluxton is 41 years of age. He's been gone for the last 2 years. Desi actually said, yeah, like, he always said that if we needed him, he'll come back. That was the gist of his interview. But like, they did need him for the last 2 years, and where was he then? Do you know, they have apparently the goalkeeping issues. Evan Comerford has an injury, but it just, I think it puts a good bit of pressure now on the likes of David O'Hanlon, who has been doing very well in goals. And yeah, I just don't really see the, I guess it's a very strange one.
I guess the other argument of it is like, oh, isn't it brilliant to have someone like him around the place and sort of the leadership aspects and how he conducts himself and everything and what a role model and all. But I think bring him in as a selector or in some sort of goalkeeper coaching role. Do you know, like, why are you bringing him in just to put extra pressure on the goal? Like, is that Dublin's problem, their goalkeeper? Do you know what I mean? Like, out of all the things that we've been saying where Dublin have been struggling, maybe no one's ever really been saying, oh, it's the goalkeeping situation. Do you know, like, it just hasn't been an issue. This does sort of reek of, I don't know, desperate, sort of hitting the panic button almost. It's just so strange, along with the likes of Jack McGathery and stuff coming back. I mean, at least they're, what, age-wise, they're in their prime, and Paul Mannion's playing unbelievable stuff for Kilmacud Crook. So all of that makes sense that he's coming back. But this over-reliance in that golden era, I mean, if they don't move on now, when will they move on? Like, what is the plan for the future? Because they keep trying to hold on to something that's gone. And looks like, yeah, like, Darren's right. They will go. I think they will probably beat Derry. And then, you know, they'll win Leinster. They'll have a good championship. And if they do win the All-Ireland, then we're all wrong. But I just think they're, you know, sacrificing tomorrow for today. And it'll catch up with them eventually. And they'll find themselves in a big, big...
And the other one is, and I don't want to be the one breaking this, but by all accounts, Keane O'Sullivan is coming back to play centre back. He hasn't played with his club in a couple of years, but he is the final piece of the jigsaw. They're getting the old band back together. No, he's not. He's not coming back, I don't think.
Where's Dennis Bastic?
Dance with the Stars. The squad, when you're seeing it on paper now, you're like, going, oh, Cluxton, McCaffrey, do you know, all the old names. It just, look, it is one of them ones. And look, he's not coming back to sit on the bench. He's come back to play. And every one of them goalies is in training at the moment, however many of them, 1, 2, 10 of them, I don't know. They know that. He did not come back at this stage of his life to be sitting on the bench.
It's serious pressure for them lads.
Serious pressure. I tell you, first round of the Leinster Championship, I mean, knocking in high ball to beat the band and throwing some big lump on top of Cluxton. So there's pressure on him now as well. Mm-hmm. Do you know? But no, look, time will tell. I do think there's a big, like, I think Keegan said it last night, like, your smart money going into the final would be on Derry. And maybe it's because of history, like, there has to be some kicking dog. We're waiting for it for the last while. There has to be kicking him. I think we might see it in the league final. That just, they have a way of eking games out. But yeah, time will tell. Derry have been excellent throughout the league. They kind of put out a bit of a shadow team where rested a few players the weekend, and Cork got a good result, good late goal to equalise. But like, we kind of all knew from a long way out that Division 2 was going to be Derry and Dublin going up. And obviously we knew Clare and Limerick had gone down last weekend. But another talking point, and it's Leinster again, the battle of the misfits, Meath and Kildare. Meath, Colmore had a good start, decent start, and it's just gone pear-shaped, and Kildare were our, what would we call them, the team we like to bait around the place the most on this podcast for a couple of weeks. But look, they've had a two good wins now to finish off the league, but neither of them team are going to be going into championship with much much positive or optimism.
Meath scored 2 points from play yesterday.
That's embarrassing.
Do you know, it was coming, like, I don't know where you even start. Like, they've got 1 point in their last 5 games. They had a great start to the league and it was all going well. Like, there was, they did maybe, they banged in the goals them early days, and looking back now, you'd have to think it was just a bit of luck to do with that. The one excuse they had yesterday was Donal Keown. He's their captain, and he missed his first game. It was his first game in 82 consecutive games he played. So he's just an unbelievable, unbelievable player and servant for Meath. But and obviously a big loss yesterday. But 13-8. And Glenn Ryan after the game, he wasn't impressed with Kildare either. He was saying, "You know, we got the win, but this wasn't a good performance." So it's hard to see either of them teams. Neither of them are in a good spot. The only positive between them, I think, is Darragh Kerwin. And he's, while Kildare struggled, he's been absolutely brilliant throughout the league. And he is, you see his highlights, he's an unbelievable man to kick points and can kick him off both feet. And he's a top class forward. And maybe single handedly, he can do a bit for Kildare. But yeah, there's tough for Colm O'Rourke now, a tough start, because they're actually could end up in a Tailteann Cup now. I know it's a bit of a long shot, but if Down were to get to an Ulster final, Down had Donegal in the first round, so you'd nearly fancy them the way things are going there. So, yeah.
But, Lee, like, I'll ask you, I suppose, will a Tailteann Cup, I know it's a bit of a kick in the gut for me, but would maybe going down a level and building a bit of confidence, winning a couple of games, maybe, potentially, and probably should be, winning silver, would that not be a good thing for Meath?
Yeah, it might be. I just think, and like, we, it hasn't been around long enough for us to have any sort of historical evidence to support this, but like, it's the people who go down and, you know, it's the attitude nearly with it. If you end up in the Tailteann Cup, then you're not happy about it. They're the teams that usually don't perform. Like Down last year really didn't want to end up in the Tailteann Cup. They got relegated. They scraped together some form of a team and they did a poor showing of themselves. Whilst you had teams like Cavan and Westmeath who knew they were going to be in the Tailteann Cup, and so they saw it as an opportunity really early on, you know, to put, you know, make as an actual goal for the season and then build for that. So I don't know, like, if Meath find themselves in it after losing so many games, it's nearly too late in the season to like turn everything around at that stage and tell yourself that this was the goal all along, because you know everyone around you has been talking about how disappointing you've been. And even if they do win it, it'll be a little bit, or if they even do well in it, it'll be a little bit of a, yeah, but it's only the Tailteann Cup, because we just know that that wasn't their goals at the start of the season. I would be more inclined to think the likes of a Down or Offaly would be giving it a real rattle this year.
Yeah, I'm... I think you mentioned Down there, so we're going to scoot down to Division 3, and they had a big win against Offaly, and they have the Kilcoo lads back on side. We had enough.
Did I disappear there for a second?
Yeah, what'd you say?
Yeah.
just leaving you hanging out there. My earpods went funny and went, but no, Down had a good win last week against Offaly, and getting the Kilcoo lads back on the side. Even our old buddy Brannigan is in with Down now. So it's great. Now all of a sudden you have these lads from a very strong club team bringing that attitude to the county, and they're moving in the right direction. A bit of luck, maybe they could have been looking at promotion as well. But Fermanagh, definitely the story of Division 3, been absolutely brilliant. I expect Cavan to win the weekend. They've kind of stuttered along. There's something about Cavan that, I don't know, just when you start to think they're going to kick on and really drive on, a bit like last year in the Tailteann Cup final and losing it then to Westmeath, they just can't be trusted for everything good that they do. They tend to fall short, but Fermanagh have just been outstanding, in fairness to them.
Yeah, I think Fermanagh needed a result yesterday. Cavan, you know, they didn't need it. So I suppose we'll maybe leave it to the league final to judge who's better. But one thing, Ken, Cavan did get two poxy goals yesterday. Just kind of floaters for points, drop short, and kind of freak goals, actually. But the one thing you'd have to say is that Ulton Kelm, lads, he is an absolute Rolls Royce. He just puts the head down and bombs, and he's like a bull going forward. And it's the only way he knows is to go straight. And he scored 1-3 yesterday. And God, I'm looking forward to watching him. I'd say you know more about me. He was down in the AFL, wasn't he, for a while?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of hype about him, but there's been a lot of hype about a lot of Fermanagh players. And then it sort of like down last year. And the issue with Fermanagh is that they couldn't get all of their best players to commit to county because it was such a big commitment, obviously, just to, you know, go out early in the Ulster Championship and not really get a fair whack at it. But that's why the Talchin Cup and opportunities they got are so good. And they've seemed to live under the new management, or was this their second year in charge now? He seems to have galvanized them. They've got a system of play. They have real belief. So many of their wins this year came right down to the wire. That's always a sign of a good team, a team that never gives up and pops up from nowhere. And then just to comment also on Down, when you look at them, if you just think 12 months, like how massive 12 months can be in Gaelic football. Picture them last year under James McCartan. The players went on the beer. He resigned. He came back. Do you remember all that scandal? And you're just like, God, is there a county right now in more disarray than Down? And then compared to like if a Donegal then, you know, under Declan Brown or just sort of going well, Michael Murphy still in charge, you know, one of the favourites for the Ulster Championship. They got to the final anyway. And now 12 is just completely flipped on its head. You know, now Donegal's the disaster team, Down are on the up, and they're playing each other in the Ulster Championship in a couple of weeks. And you'd be crazy to back against Down because, I mean, I can't get over how quickly things have changed in that way. And I suppose that could nearly be a plus save for Donegal. They could be like, well, maybe we can change things quickly ourselves. But I would nearly back Down in that championship day.
Life comes at you fast.
Yeah, and like that, it's hard to change a form around. And there will be pressure on Donegal going into it. Obviously, they're the Division 1 team. But yeah, I'd agree with you. I wouldn't be backing against Down at the moment. I think they have a good, they're on a good trajectory. They're moving in the right direction. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. The few weeks the teams have to train, or the few teams that have a bit of time to train, there's going to be lots to do. And it'll be interesting how teams prepare for the championship when they come in so close, because there's not much a lot of them can do. Not much you can do to find your form in 2 weeks, really, to be honest. I think a lot of teams are banking on peaking. I don't know how you peak. Like, my thing is, I see, we're going on to Division 4 now anyway. Andy Moran was giving out about burning out the players. I don't get that, to be honest. The season now, we'll say January to the end of June or whatever, July, 6 months. 7 games in the league. How many games championship? 5 or 6 max?
Going well.
Yeah. But you're getting to the final. So you've got 13 games max in 6 months. Where are you going with burnout?
Yeah, what does he want, actually, is what you'd have to ask. Because we know how bad it was.
I have a good time for Andy. He's doing a great job with Leitrim, but I was there going, what's he talking about?
He was making a good point when he was there saying that, it's unfair on Sligo to have, they'll have the league final and then they'll have the Connacht Championship the next week, which is fair enough.
I can understand that.
2 weeks, you could do it 2 weeks between the league final and the championship. And Mayo would say the same, I'd say. But then he kind of went off on that tangent. And yeah, the same as you, Darren. Like, I don't know how, where he's coming from.
It's hard to compare it to other sports and let it go, oh, that's professional. But like, we all watch a bit of soccer and you win the League Cup, you're up the following Wednesday or Thursday. You win the, you could win the league one weekend. I don't know what, with the FA Cup used to be the week after. Like, same with the rugby boys. Like, they were playing Six Nations. They had five rounds of the Six Nations, five games, same as the league. That's heavy metal. Do you know what? You could say, oh, they're professional. But I think the system, the way it is now, I know what there should be a bit more of a gap between things, but none of the heavy metal training throughout, that's where you get the burnout. Like, so I don't know. But anyway, Division 4 was Super Sunday stuff. 66 minutes gone. Leitrim and Leash are going through. Crack on another 10 minutes. It's Wicklow and Sligo. So the only good thing to happen for Armagh were the two Cross McGlynn managers got promoted. But yeah, was it five teams had the potential to go up in Division 4? Wexford had an outside chance.
Yeah.
But my God, there was great excitement in it. I can understand the emotion of Andy. He probably got wrapped up in the emotion, probably a bit cross. But because I think he was looking for a bit more time and maybe a few steps the with picture? The last score.
His picture with the ref was yeah,
Ferguson. Like Ferguson.
The two of them pointing at their watches.
Like, my watch is better than yours.
Yeah, my time is right.
No, I know, it was brilliant. And like that, it's going to set up for a great final now as well. Moshe McConville, his first year with Wicklow against his old club mate, Tony McAfee with Sligo. First of all, massive well done to Oisín, like going in their first year, big job. Probably didn't know a whole pile about the division, definitely didn't know a whole pile about the Wicklow lads, I'd say, going in. Like, trying to get a handle on a team in that short space of time, like that, the way the games are coming out, there's very little time for proper training to get to know fellas. So, massive. And like that, Sligo have been had a rough couple of years and looked like they're moving in the right direction. Massive win. And like to pull it out of the bag so late on as well, and show great character. But they did nearly throw it away at one stage, I suppose. So that'll be a bit of a worry for them.
Yeah, it's a pity that we didn't get to see a bit more of that, because it was Sligo and Leitrim, the derby. And, you know, they had a bit of a rivalry. They went to the penalties in the Tailteann Cup last year, and there was huge excitement about this one. And like Sligo were 8 points up in the second half, and you're thinking this is done and dusted. But Leitrim, and even without Keith Byrne, he wasn't firing on all cylinders. They still dragged themselves back into it, and they got their second goal. It was the weirdest goal I've ever seen. It was like pinball going around the spot and off the post, and the goalie sliding, and but it kind of looked like at that stage it might be Leitrim's day, like when they're getting a goal like that. And you know, they kind of just forced it over the line nearly out of pure desire, like but they were a bit unlucky, like Leitrim. And yeah, as you said, great job by Oisín McConville, but a great job, but I think Andy Moran, they were unlucky, and I think he's done a good job, and I think Leitrim are building something there. So it was a brilliant Division 4. I was watching it on the GA League Tables Twitter account. They had like a red zone going, and it was popping up and down. And it was so exciting to watch now, the whole thing.
It's just so disappointing that there wasn't better coverage. Like, I don't know what the right answer is, or if some broadcaster could have took it on, but you nearly have a whole day just for Division 4 dedicated to it. It would have been brilliant. Like a red Saturday. Zone soccer Saturday kind of thing. Yeah. Like, even if the games weren't live, just having a panel of people sort of comment and going to them back and forth would have been very exciting. I don't know, like it feels outdated already that we're not at that stage, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. But it just looks like a gap in the market that some broadcaster can tap into. It's just a shame.
Yeah, I think that's for another podcast, the old broadcasting rights and whatever, but. Yeah, it's one of them ones where there are, we call them freak weekends, where there's so much happening that you wish we could, that it could be a bit more flexible to show the games in a bit more often. But no, it was really good. Yeah, it's going to be tough on the Sligo lads. But yeah, do you know their league final on a Sunday, enough to fly to London, leaving. Would you not rather be in a league final with a chance of silverware and then go straight into championship rocking on? I would anyway. Like, definitely, to be fair, definitely. A lot of the Sligo lads probably wouldn't have won much over the last number of years. It's the only change. I like the split season. no, it was a bit tight between the championship, but maybe an extra week or two. But like, these things were going to happen when we changed from a structure that was so set in stone for so long. It was never going to be perfect. Give it an extra week or two, and all of a sudden, but like that, you push everything out 2 weeks, all of a sudden, Mayo have 3 weeks, let's say 2 weeks after league final, but then Kerry have 5 weeks, then all of a sudden it's very long, and such as, you know, so they'll always be someone going, the gap is too long, it's too short. And it'll probably be us giving out, to be fair.
But always something, yeah.
It will be us. There is, because yeah. We've said we love the split season, and then Lee, because likes to be different, would say, nah, put the All-Ireland back to September.
Yeah, that's it. you're throwing it on me. I feel like I have to say that. You've just been forced into a corner.
But I get that from people all the time going, no, it's not the same. Third Sunday in September is when the All-Ireland should be on. And you're like going, yeah, no. It's too long.
Yeah. No, it's too long.
But all in all, I think, look, it was an exciting league campaign. I don't think the standard was great. I think the standard this year has been really poor. I think we tipped last year for this year to be the most open championship. I think it will be the most open championship. If you're asking me to call it now, which you're not, so I'm going to do it anyway. My money's on one of the Connacht boys, Galway or Mayo at the moment, but that can change like that. Yeah. I do think Tyrone have turned the corner.
Same.
I think Kerry will be a different team after the training, a couple of weeks training.
Can't rule out Derry.
No, you can't. I think it'll be interesting. I think that League Two final is. I think all the league finals are going to be brilliant if the teams all go to win them. I think we'll be in for great games. Like that, like, so we've already named it there. We've named Tyrone and Derry. Anyone else know to be named there? I don't think so. Tyrone and Derry.
Teams that have a chance, like Tyrone, yeah. Derry, Galway, Mayo, Dublin.
Kerry. That's enough. That's loads. And to be fair, there's normally one team that has a bit of a blast for one season or come out and all. But like, we haven't said that in a long time where you're going to have two from Ulster really heavily competitive, two from Connacht really competitive.
Three.
Kerry. Three. Roscommon. Do you know?
They're the next. I'd have them as, you know, the next up team up.
Definitely. Like, I do think this year is going to be, it'll be competitive. It'll be interesting to see how the teams, bar Mayo really and Galway, and I'm putting Derry beneath them because they're playing a lower standard. But bar the two boys especially, the form hasn't been great by a lot of teams. Like that next week's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the games. I think they'll be great games, to be fair. So we'll do it. Now you're trying to hold back a smile, so I'm going to get your tips first. Who's going to win?
Who's going to win the league finals?
Yeah.
Okay. Galway.
Yeah.
Galway, Dublin. Division 3 will be won by Cavan, and Division 4 will be won by Sligo.
All right. Not too bad.
I actually think Mayo are going to win. I think they'll pull it off against Galway. I think Galway, they've been motoring along so nicely, and you're talking about peaking and everything, like Comer coming back just the last 10 minutes. The extra game, and then a couple of weeks, and then I think they're really going to be praying beautifully for the Connacht Championship. So my answer will change come it. But I think Mayo will get the win this time around. I do think Dublin will find a way to beat Derry. They'll have been hurting from that first time. It wouldn't be the most shocking thing if Derry get a win, obviously. They're probably the favourites, but I think Dublin will find a way. Cavan have lost now two games on the bounce. Now, they're two games that they maybe didn't care about, or there was nothing really riding on them. So I think they'll really, really be going for this league final, because three games, three defeats going into the Ulster Championship is not where you want to be. So they'll put a huge emphasis on that. And just to disagree with Niall, I'm going to go with Wicklow.
Yeah, they're actually very hard to call. And I was there going, there's so much what Mayo are doing at the moment. It's hard to back against them with a full team. So I think I'm going to lean with Mayo. But at the same time, are they going to be distracted by Roscommon a week later? It's tough. I'm going to go with Mayo. I just think, just the way they started the league, I think they were very good. Division 2, I'm going to go Dublin. Just think there has to be a performance in, and we haven't seen anything. So that definitely means that Galway and Derry are winning. And Division 3, I'm going to go with Cavan as well. I just think they have more experience up in Croke Park than Fermanagh. Like you said as well, they've had two defeats in the last two games. They didn't have to win them. I think they'd done their work, and I just think they're a bit more experienced up in Croke Park. And Division 4 is a tough one, but I'm going to go with... I don't know who I'm going to go with here. I'm going to go with Sligo. I think I'm going to go with Sligo for that one, but I think it'll be a good game. So unfortunately, that's all we have time for. We've given you our four tips. One of us is bound to be right. Between the three of us, we're bound to get every game right. So unfortunately, that's all we have time for on today's show. Join us next week, and we'll be discussing all the league finals and building up to the championship. It's all coming ticking fast. The players are burnt out.
Bit of hurling talk for myself and Lee before we go, but I'm not going to accuse you. I know you don't care about the hurling, and
is it hurling?
Football snobs. So listen, we'll forget about that.
We all know the hurling league doesn't count. No one gets relegated. How do you call it?
Leash got relegated yesterday. Out of division.
Not
one.
Darn.
Come on, man.
My boss was selected with Westmeath.
Yeah, they had a good win, to be fair to them. They're actually kind of coming back. So you saved that one there. I'll give it to you. Myself and Lee, we'll be back with a bit of hurling talk.
Okay, now for a bit of hurling talk. We had the league semi-finals yesterday. Limerick beat Tipperary, but it was a good battle for a while anyway.
It was. This was Saturday night. And Tipperary started absolutely brilliant. They were 4 points up at half-time. And, you know, they were playing in the first half. They were playing unbelievable stuff, really. They were making very little mistakes. They were passing the ball brilliantly. They kind of had Limerick... chasing their tail a small bit. Jason Ford continued his fine form. He's been absolutely unbelievable in this league campaign, and he scored 3 points. One of them in the first half was incredible. But as Tipperary have discovered many times against Limerick, you don't win games in the first half because the score difference, it was one of the stats that would stop you dead. Was that Limerick, in their last 11 games, Colm Keyes had this, before halftime, Limerick are minus 22 against Tipperary, and after halftime, they're plus 69. So, we'll always remember that Munster final in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in 2021 when they came back from the dead and hammered Tip, and it was something similar. They won by six, but this game was over with 15, 20 minutes to play. So Limerick just turned on the style in a big way. And I suppose when you consider that they were missing five key players in Kyle Hayes, Dara O'Donovan, they were missing Seamus Flanagan, and they were missing, who is the other two? Dan Morrissey, and the other one will come back to me in a second. But you know, the lads who are replacing them are just as good. They're stepping in, filling the breach, no bother at all. Cathal O'Neill, he's a big lad who's been impressing, but he seems to be playing the best stuff at the minute. Donnacha O'Dowley's come in, he's doing well. They're producing hurlers. Well, yeah, Garrod Hegarty was the other one. He came on as a sub. Like when you're bringing Garrod Hegarty on as a blood sub and then taking him back off, I think it sums up where Limerick are at. They're streets ahead, I think, of everyone. And, you know, Tipperary won't be too disappointed. Alan Tynan was very good as well, but they just can't live with Limerick.
Mm-hmm. And elsewhere, Kilkenny managed to beat Cork, and a bit of needle in that one.
There was a bit of needle in that. There was a bit of needle in the, actually, I forgot to mention the tip one as well. William O'Donoghue pulled a bit of a, you know, just got Alan Tynan and himself were kind of getting stuck into each other at the throw-in, but O'Donoghue went over the top, as he often does, actually, at throw-ins, just swinging the hurl wildly. This time he kind of pushed him. A bit of a strike across the head, took Tynan's face guard off. So that's something to, you know, something for him to, something to look out for, because he is a bit reckless, those throw-ins, and referees, actually, not William Malone, referees want to look out for that. But there was a bit of needle in the Cork-Kilkenny one as well. I think Cork were probably, they were nearly a beaten docket at this stage. And maybe it was a bit of frustration that crept in, but it did. It all kind of kicked off and made its way down towards the wire in Nolan Park. There was four yellows for finishing. Owen Downey was sent off. I seen Pat Ryan, the Cork manager, saying they're going to appeal that because that will rule them out for the first round of the Munster Championship as things stand. But yeah, it was disappointing for Cork. I know, I think Decky Dalton, he got injured the last day, and I think he was a very big loss for him because I think he's a key man. They're obviously missing Robbie O'Flynn. They're missing Dara Fitzgibbon as well. Mark Coleman, a long-term injury. So, you know, they weren't full strength, Cork, but they'll still be, you know, they'll be really hoping they can get those lads back for the championship. But they'll still be disappointed because Kilkenny did, they were on top and they bossed this game. And without even being spectacular, Kilkenny kind of had their measure. Billy Drennan gave another sort of a power-packed performance for Kilkenny. He scored 114. I think it was only a point from play, but he's just, for a lad of his age, he's only 19 or 20, and he's just tremendous composure on the ball and tremendous strength as well. He won that penalty for himself as well. Damien Cahalan took a nasty kind of a stroke at him, and Drennan just stuck it away. It was nearly like a Jorginho penalty, if you can imagine that. In hurling, but Kilkenny and Limerick now in the league final, and I would expect, you'd expect Limerick to win fairly comfortably. And to be honest, I'd be very I wouldn't hold out too much hope for any team, league or championship, in keeping it poked out to Limerick this year, because they just look unbelievable. Even missing, we mentioned the five lads were missing at the weekend, and they're still, Tip didn't even play that badly, and we're still well beaten. So it's going to take one hell of an effort to beat them. Just the other game then, in, we mentioned that in the football with Darren there, how Westmeath survived. They beat Laois. Laois had beaten them in these sort of situations before. So nice for Westmeath. They had definitely been a little bit better than Laois. Laois were very disappointed in this league campaign. So they go down, and it's between Offaly, who beat Kerry at the weekend, and Kildare. Kildare, who have had a brilliant league. And I suppose we've seen this coming. We've seen how good Naas were winning the All-Ireland Intermediate 2 years ago. And, you know, colleges like Maynooth are coming on with a lot of Kildare players on their team. So Kildare are a coming force, and we'll find out next weekend if they're, you know, if they've arrived yet. So, look, the league, it wasn't a vintage league campaign. I don't think the system lends itself to that, but it did pick up definitely a bit in the semi-finals. So, yeah.
Thanks, Niall, for another hurling masterclass. That's all from us for the show. Remember to like, share, subscribe to the GAR, and we'll see you all next week.